The Medrash points out something that's not explicit in the Chumash in Parshas Vayelech, that David Moshe Rabbeinu died, he completed writing 12 Sefer Torah and he gave one to each one of the Shvatim. How did they come up with such an idea? So the Mefarshim printed on the bottom of the page and the big Medrash rabbis say that one of the Midrash HaTorah Rashi's plan is that we add up how many times the word is mentioned in the pasuk. For example, one time is of the opinion that we have established that the Ravah Mekes of the Malachas based on the fact that the word Malacha, Malacha, Malachas appears 39 times. We look from the beginning of Bereshis to the end of Devarim. Truth of the matter is that it appears more than 39 times. And there's different opinions in the Rishon of which psukim is discounting, which are the 39 that he's counting, that Tana, which are the Malachas, which word Malach and the Chumash is he discounting. I think the Gemara says it, there's a question that says, when Yosef, a Yovel, Beis Avasas Malachto, the Gemara discuss whether that's one of the 39 or not. So there are more than 39. But that's a legitimate Midrash HaTorah Rashi's plan. Out of the there's a machlokes hatanoim, how many hadasim do you need in the Sheik Alulim? So we're machmer lachatchila that you need three kosher hadasim. Rabbi Kiva disagrees, says one, just like there's one lulav and one esrog, so there's one arav and one hadas as well. And other tanoim said, no, you have to have three hadasim based on the fact that the word appears three times, tanaf eitz ovis. It's not the same word repeated three times, but that's the mocha that you need three. That's considered a legitimate Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Rav Dalet has, there's a long sugya there where they say, Yeshem Lamikra, Yeshem Lamasoris, whenever there's a conflict between the Kri and the Ksiv, whether you follow Aloch Lamaisa, the Ksiv or the Kri. So Tosis points out there, whenever you can formulate Aloch, blending together the Kri with the Ksiv, that's the best way to do. All the time I agree. That's Kiyuta and Mai Malzera. And it's written Yitain without a vav. Yutan should be spelled with a vav, spelled without a vav. So Yitain, so Yutan do be the Yitain. You dash them both together. The Kri and the Ksiv. But whenever there's a conflict and you can't formulate halacha that you're combining the Kri and the Ksiv, that's a machlek in Satanaim, whether Yashem Lamikra, Yashem Lamasoras. So the Gemara has there a discussion about how many Tzrikas Ameyake by a Korban Chatos. Because it says the word karnos, but it's spelled karnas, it's spelled chosevov. So how many times is the Karen Ad Mizbech mentioned? So that's how we establish how many zvikas in Yidlachatrila and how many zvikas on the Akib in Yevin. Or the same thing, basukas teshu, ki basukas oshapti, basukas. All three times you pronounce it basukos, but once or twice it's spelled chosev, basukas. So that depends whether you hold Yashem Lamikra, Yashem Lamasura. So the Gemara says the Pasuk is informing us how many defanas you need. The word Sukhi really refers to the Schach that makes tzel, it's Mesach. It's Hakos Alor, and it makes Schach and makes Shein. But the main wing of the Schach can make wing of the defanas. So how many defanas do you need? So that's a Makhloi Gesatanaim where the Steinkel Chosim, Shlisha, Safi, the Tefach. That's how we pass on our Shaldashkel Chosim. So that has to do with Yeshem Lamikra, Yeshem Lamasaris. But the whole drasha is assuming that you're adding up how many times the word sukkah appears in the Chumash. That's when the legitimate midas, Shatar Nidresh has been. Gematria is not a legitimate midas, Shatar Nidresh has been. That's what the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, and the Mishnah in the end of the first Perek in Chagiga, the last line, first Perek in Chagiga says, Gematria is a piper ras la chachma. That's cute. Cute things, nice ideas, but that's not from the Midrash HaTorah Nidresh HaSpam. The Mishnah says, Stam Nazir Shloshim Yom, and the Gemara seems to learn it out from a Pasuk Kodesh Yiye, Yiye Begematria Tlosan Havet, Yudhei, Yudhei. So the Rambam writes there in the Pirush HaMishnayis, in the first Perek in Nozer, that's not really the Alfusa, it's Allah Moshe Messina. Or one time in the Gemara Masechus Shabbos establishes that the Olam Etes Ovis Malachas based on the Gematria, it says, El Hadvar Meshat Tziva Hashem, as Moshe. So Ela Aleph Lamed Hey is gematria of 36. Dvarim is a new Rabbim Shnaim is another two, and it has a Hey Hayidia Dvarim Hadvarim. So that adds up to 39. Dvarim Hadvarim Ela Hadvarim Ela Lamed Tesavus Beloch. So the Pnei Yeshua writes on that Gemara. That's obviously only an Asmachta because gematrios are just Parparos Lachachma. I think it's very wrong that in all the elementary schools here in America, maybe in Eretz Yisrael, they don't do like that. Here in the New York area, they teach the children all the gematrios. And when it comes Leil HaSeder, the children are hacking the whole night about all the gematrios and the word. Why don't they teach them what the words mean? They're telling them all the gematrios. Parpura, how many desserts can you eat? If you eat too much ice, then you're going to throw up. You have to eat nutritious food. You have to learn Pshutosh and Mikra, the drushes and the Torah Shabbat, and not all the gematrios. Every gematria. So the commentaries on the Medrash point out that if you add up how many times it says the word Sefer Torah at the beginning of Ayelach, it has it 12 times or 13 times. That's a reference to the 12 Sefer Torah, the 13 Sefer Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu completed the day that he died. Then the Beis Yosef discusses, the Gemara seems to say that Moshe Rabbeinu died on the Shabbos. That's why we say Tzidkoscha, we say Tzidik Adin, Shabbos afternoon to Mincha, over the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's why there was a minhag for many generations. So now they're undoing the minhag. There was a minhag that you don't learn, you don't have a public shiur, and into mincha and ma'ariv on Shabbos afternoon. So the rabbi gives a drasha on Pirkei Avos or Hashkafe Amuna, but he don't have a shiur kavu on Gemara. Now in a lot of shuls they do, because the din is that Chacham Shemei based on drasha Gotel. If a rabbi dies, they don't give a public shiur in his base medrash. And Moshe Rabbeinu was Rabban Shekol Yisrael. So all the, if Abbezin Shemes, all the Bat Midrashim in the city are Batim. So since Moshe Rabbeinu died Shabbos afternoon, so that's why all the Bat Midrashim are Batim, you don't give a public shiur. I remember the first time they invited me to speak at an OU convention, the OU used to have. They don't have anymore. They used to have a convention every other year on Thanksgiving weekend. And their goodies used to be down the road in another hotel in the mountains. They had a convention every year on Thanksgiving weekend. So I remember they asked me to give a shiur in between Mincha and Ma'ariv after Shalosh Shudas. I said, the minhag is you don't give a shiur. The one in charge says, he never heard of that you don't give a shiur. He's going to ask Rabbi Soloveitchik. Everything you have to ask Rabbi Soloveitchik. But you have to like fill it on Thursday also. It's Rabbi Soloveitchik. Everything is different by Rabbi Soloveitchik. That's so he called up Rabbi Soloveitchik. Rabbi Soloveitchik said, yes, yeah, it's the minhag. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that you don't give a shiur. So Rabbi Soloveitchik told them they should write on the agenda, I'm giving a Torah address. So the one who heard it thought that it meant, just call that a Torah address and I should give a shiur. But it didn't mean that. It meant I should give a drasha. Minhag is that you give a drasha, you don't give a shiur. Shabbos afternoon. Now, a lot of people don't learn Shulchan Aruch, so they don't know Tosfos. They don't learn Tosfos either. Tosfos Menachos quotes it from the Gaonim, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes it. That the meaning is you don't keep a shiur in learning. Maybe to Michamai because of Mises, my Shabbos. And now a lot of shows that give a shiur. Okay. Give a shiur. The Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu gave in the Chumash speaks about one. Make Chalas Moshe Lechtemus. That's the end of Shishi going into Shvi. I don't know why they put Shvi over there. It's in the middle of the story. Moshe Rabbeinu completes writing the Sefer Torah. Originally, at the time on Maamar HaSinai, it says in the end of Parshas Mishpatim that Moshe Rabbeinu. At the time, Maamar HaSinai, that was the Geirus of Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu read from the Sefer HaBris. But what is the Sefer HaBris? Rashi quotes from the Tanaim. Sefer HaBris was from Bereishis till the end of Mishpatim. And it says that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote that Sefer Abrius. It says over there, Echtov Moshe is called Divrei Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote everything. He was taught by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to write. He was dictated to write from Bereishis till the end of Mishpatim. So that, at that time, that was the Sefer Abrius. At the time of Maimon HaSinai, Vikach Sefer Abrius, Vayikra B'Ozneihom, Vayomer Kol Asher Divrei Hashem Naaseh Mishpat. The end of the 40 Shana in the Midbar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had already given the Torah three times. He gave Kol HaTorah Kula three times. That's the Gemara in the first paragraph of Chagiga, that many times it says, introducing a din, Adam HaShem HaMoshe B'Har Sinai Leimah. Many times Adam HaShem HaMoshe Me'oil Mo'el Leimah. Many times Adam HaShem HaMoshe Me'arvis Mo'el Leimah. So the Gemara said the Torah was given three times in a different version, a different text. First time in Adam HaShem HaSinai, and then Me'oil Mo'el was the 40 years traveling in the Midbar. Then Arvis Mo'el, that's before Moshe Rabbeinu died, the end of his life, the last month. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, now put together a Sefer Torah. Sometimes Yeshiva's text A, sometimes text B, sometimes text C. The Torah as we have it, it says in the Gemara, it says the Chazon Ish has a whole essay about this. In the Chazon Ish and Orech Chaim, everything is in the order that things appear in Orech Chaim. So by Shavuos, if the Pesach comes to Yerushalayim and then Shavuos, so by Shavuos, he doesn't say anything about Shavuos. He talks about Seder and the Sinas HaTorah. Why were the mitzvahs given three times? Why is the first time it was given at Sinai, second time it was given at Olmoid, the third time at Abbas Maim? So he discusses that Gemara. So the Chumash, as we have it, is clearly a composite of three different texts. All three texts were dictated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu. What was the need to have three different texts? Why wouldn't it be good enough with one text? That's the Tanaim. So when Moshe Rabbeinu finally completes writing everything, he gives it to Levim. So that has the status of Sefer Azorah. What's his special din? They have to hold that in the Azor. The Tzadar Abris Hashem, that's in the Kodesh HaKadosh. That's more than the Azor. But the Gemara calls it the Sefer Azor. What's the special status of the Sefer Azor? So Soloveitchik pointed out that there is a Sifrei of the Pasuk. There is a Sifrei of the Pasuk later in Azino. Don't remember. There's a question how the word is spelled in the Chumash. Oh, come to me, okay. With a hey, without a hey at the end, I forgot which the word is. Ma'ona. Yeah, Ma'ona. Ma'ona la keket, ma'ona la keket, correct. But it's spelled Ma'ona. So the Sifrei says that there were three Svarim in the Azara at that time. And they checked, and two of them, there was a steer in there too. So two of them said Ma'ona, one said Ma'on. So Bitla Sechem and Pnei Hashnaim. They went, Basar Roif. And since two of them said Ma'ona, so that's how they passed. And the correct reading should be Ma'ona. So they should guess, why did they only check the three Svarim in the Azara? There were hundreds of Svarim all over the Jewish people had. There were only three Sefer Torah in the whole wide world. So he said, apparently, there's a special status to the Sefer HaZorah. That's for the purpose of preserving the Masorah. In case you have a suffix, what the correct spelling of a word is, or what the correct text should be, the role of the Sefer HaZorah is to preserve the Masorah. And that's what the Yalkut Shemayni seems like it says, that the Pasuk in this week's Sefer has we'll have to talk about that. So the Pshut Roshon Mikra is Lochem is speaking to Moshe and Yoshua. Kis Lochem is Hashir HaZos, referring to Shiva's Hazinu. But the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. The Torah Shavapa has an additional level of interpretation that Kis Lochem is a din to all Jewish men. As Hashir HaZos, every Jewish man has an obligation to write Sefer Torah. That's the 613 mitzvah. That's how they say. 613 mitzvah is that everyone should write a Sefer Torah. it's not really the Pshut or Shamikra. Pshut or Shamikra is Tisra Lachem, Moshe and Yeshua are instructed the right Shiras Hazinu. So that's a problem. The Rambam has 14 guiding principles that determine what belongs in the Sefer HaMitzvot, what does not belong. So the Rambam's first klal is they only include Dinim Deraisa, they only include Dinim Derabbanan. He's in disagreement with the Bahag, who include Halachas Neres Chanukah and Mikra Megillah and so on, Dinim Derabbanan. And then he says also, you only include Dinim that are based on Pshut or Shamikra, whatever is Drosha, so the Torah Shabbat there, you don't include. So the Ramban attacks the Rambam. What is he, an Apikoris? He thinks the Torah Shabbat was invented by the rabbis. Torah Shabbat is a Din Deraisa. It's not a Din Midirabbanan. It wasn't invented by the rabbis. So the Pashto says it's not that the Rambam didn't mean that it's invented. The Rambam in Hakdamah to the Pirush HaMishnah has a dispute with the Goyim regarding all of Torah Shabbat. Mishnah says Torah Shabbat. Mishnah represents Torah Shabbat. The Gemara says in the first parak in Bava Basra, we learned this here. Ein son igolim ala b'schus liman ha-mishnayis. The Gemara learns that from a pasuk in Navi. The Gulu ha-sida will take place in the schus of limud of Torah Shabbat. Mishnayis means Torah Shabbat. So the Goyim are of the opinion, they took there's a medrash that appears in many sources. Rav Chaim Aloshan quotes in Nefesh HaChaim all the different sources. That Kama Shetamet Basik Asher L'Chadish Nehmad Ola Moshe Misina. Every single din that you find in the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah, any good chiddush, any good halacha that was developed by a sharp Talmud Basik, a bright Talmud, we assume was told to Moshe Rabbeinu Hasid. So the Goyim are of the opinion that the Midrash that turned in Reshes Behem cannot serve as a source for deriving a din. Every din, you have to have a tradition on. And if you don't have a tradition, you're not allowed to say such a din. So what are the Midrash HaTorah and Reshes Behem all about? Called the Prophet Klal. So the Goyim are of the opinion, that's to check whether your tradition is accurate or not. But you can't use the Midrash HaTorah and Reshes Behem to be mechadish a new din yesh mayayim. And the Rambam says that that's utterly ridiculous. If they had a tradition in every single din, what the din was. So why is there so much machlokes? Machlokes because they forgot. So every page in the Gemara, they forgot every single din. They forgot everything. That's scandalous. The most precious thing that we have is the Torah. And the Tanaim forgot everything. And they're trying to reconstruct it. So the Rama thinks that that's not correct. Once in a long while, they forgot a din. The Gemara said, you may have the Shomosh Rabbeinu. They were so distraught, they forgot thousands of dinim. And Yeshua ben Nun was machzad ben pilpula. He restored the dinim, even though they were forgotten. But the Midrash HaTorah and Reshes Behem were given to be mechadish new dinim, to come up with new dinim. So the Rambam, the Shitasa thinks that when you try to calculate which are the 613 mitzvahs, you cannot include dinim mitzvahs deraisa that are based on brushes of Torah Shabbat. And every generation, the Chachamim, who know how to darshan, will come up with new dinim. So when are there 613? When a Chacham comes up with a new din, he has to throw out one of the old dinim. He has to discard one of the old dinim. So the Rambam says, no, you start with 613. Pshut Rosh HaMikra. Pshut Rosh HaMikra is 613. And then every generation, the Chachamim add on more and more dinim that are deraisa, based on the Midrash HaTorah and Reshes Behem. There's even an interesting machlokes achrayim, whether when the Chachamim are mechadish a din, according to the Rambam, the Chachamim who know Midrash HaTorah and Reshes Behem have the ability to be mechadish a new din based on Midrash HaTorah and Reshes Behem. Does that din, do we say now that din was no Egigvoyim Milsim Rafiyah, that was always a din since the days of Maimon HaSinai, or that din only applies Mikan al Abba? When the mechadish a new din, the Rabbanon said that's a rush in the first parak on Chulin, that the din of the Rabbanon only apply Mikan al Abba. The Rosh gives the example when the Tanoim decided to prohibit Gvina Sakum, cheese that was processed by a Nochri. So all the people were eating cheese, the kosher cheese that was processed by Goy. So everybody has to kasha their pots and pans because they cooked the cheese. So the Rosh says, no, it wasn't trade yet. The day that they acid it, so from now on, if a Goy will make cheese from now on, it'll be dreadful. Whatever cheese was there from before, all the ingredients were kosher. Whatever cheese was there from before was kosher. You have to kosher the pots and pans. So that's a din de rabbon. the din of the Rabbanon, the Rosh says that's a double pasha. Normally, not even karal abo. But what if it's a drasha of the Torah Shebal Peh that gives an additional level of interpretation? But the Chachamim were mechadish it. They never had a tradition from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. They're mechadish it. You say since they're mechadish it, so the chiddush is only eilach b'alam shas chiddush of the eilach. The din only applies mikana lapo. Or do you say no? It's a glory milson lafer. The din was always like that. So the chiddush has a sefer on Megillas Rus, and he points out. He shows that this was a big machlokes in Achrenim. The Chazanish held the mechudish thing away. Chazanish held that when a bezin is mechadish a new din based on Midrash Torah and the Rashi, then the din only applies mikana lapo. He comments on the pasuk in Koheles. En kochodesh tachas hashemesh. They usually translate en kochodesh tachas hashemesh. Nothing new under the sun. What I mean is nothing new under the sun. History repeats itself. If you know history well, you can predict the future because history repeats everything. Everything happened already, and if you understand history, you can predict what's going to be the outcome of any given case. So the Rashi of that pasuk quotes a medrash. En kochodesh tachas hashemesh. Tachas means instead of. Shor tachas hashor. Shalim shalim. Shor tachas hashor. What do you mean? En kochodesh the shemesh. The shemesh is the Torah. Why is the shemesh the Torah? Because the pasuk says in Bochei Nafshi Toshi Yischar Shavi Loi Labosim Maskal Chai Sayor. And the Gemara says in Bochei Nafshi this also shows both this in the Agdomen. This Gemara in Bochei Nafshi. That the pasuk is Deho Lamazesh and Deho Lalaila. The pasuk describes that it's very dark outside and you can't see anything, and the animals in the jungle are all crawling all over the place. So that is a description of Olam Hazeh. People are like animals, and the world is like a jungle, and everyone's out to kill everybody else, and it's dark and you can't see anything. So the Silas Hashem explains when it's dark, you can make two kinds of mistakes. Sometimes you see a lamppost and you think that it's a person. Sometimes you see a person, think that it's a lamppost. So you can make a mistake with tivusa and with riusa. A lot of times people don't know whether something is a mitzvah or something is an avera. Should you celebrate Yom Ha'atzma'ut? Should you say hello? Or should you say kinnis? HaKamas HaMedina, was it the most wonderful thing that happened in the last 2,000 years or the greatest tragedy in the world? So it's a lachlekes. Obviously, someone is right, so you can't say elu v'elu. Someone is right, someone is wrong. But that's what we say. The Olam Hazeh is Daim Lalaila, that people make a lot of mistakes. So we say, we should have Ha'orah, we should have an enlightenment. And the pasuk says, Kiner mitzvah b'torah or, that when you do a mitzvah, that gives a little illumination, like a candle. Kiner mitzvah b'torah or, but when you learn Torah, it gives you more illumination. It's like a torch. The torch gives more illumination and it's longer lasting. Candle only lasts for a few hours and the torch lasts for longer. So the Gemara said the illumination that you get when you learn Torah is greater than that one gets when he does a mitzvah. So again, so we started to say, the Yalkut Shemayne comments on this pasuk, Kisvu lechem es hashira hazos. So the pshuta shal mikra is that it's talking about lochem means Moshe and Yeshua should write shivas hazinu. The Torah shel Peh has an additional level of interpretation. Kisvu lechem, every individual Jew should write or commission a sefer to write a sefer Torah. So that's a problem. Why did the Rambam include Ksiva Sefer Torah? That's not a Tipshuta Shal Mikra. That's a drush of the Torah Shabbat Ben. And that's in the 14 klolim that the Rambam has in the first half of the Sefer Mitzvahs. That's the second klol. You only include mitzvahs that are based on Pshuta Shal Mikra. That's what we spoke about there the other day, that Birchas HaTorah. Birchas HaTorah, the Ramban counts Birchas HaTorah as one of the mitzvahs. That's Yishem Hashem Ekra v'godol v'keinu. Is that Pshuta Shal Mikra? Yishem Hashem Ekra v'godol v'keinu. Is that also a drosha of the Torah Shabbat? Anyway, but the Rambam was not happy with that klal. The Rambam didn't like that. The Rambam thought that the Rambam didn't want to count droshas of the Torah Shabbat because as if the Torah Shabbat doesn't count, as if it's only the Rabbanan. So there's no taina on the Rambam, why the Rambam includes Even if it's not lefi pshuto, but the question is on the Rama. Why did the Rama include ksiva sevidur? That's not true to some mikra. That's only a drasha of the Torah shebal peh. Anyway, getting back again, so there's the alka shemayni on this pasuk. What is the purpose of every individual Jewish man writing a sefer Torah? What he needed for? So the alka shemayni says that there was a concern. Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned that in the future people can forge the text of the Chumash. They'll write whatever they want into the Chumash and the claim. This is what the Rabban Shlom told us. They're going to change what it says in the Chumash. So that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, that's a concern. Every Jewish man has to write a Sefer Torah in order to preserve the Masorah, in order to know what the correct text is. The people won't be able to zayef. People won't be able to misrepresent what the text of the Torah is. But the Maisa, if it comes down to it, it's a shadow whether the reading is Ma'ona, Ma'ona, Lakeket, which is it? So the Sifrei says that they only checked the three Sfarim that were in the Azora, and they had the status of preserving the Masor. The mitzvah that everyone should write a Sefer Torah, it should be harder, it should be more difficult for people to be Mazayif, to misrepresent the text. More people will know what the text is. Every person is going to have a Sefer Torah, so they'll know that the guy forged something and changed the text. But Al Pi Din, only the Sefer Azara was for the purpose of checking the correct text. Is there any other status that the Sefer Azara has? The Tosfos, and last year we learned Bava Basra, the Tosfos in the first Perek and Bava Basra, the Gemara talks about who wrote the whole Tanakh. The Tosfos quotes Rashi from another Masechta that the Hakel, a Hakel on Chalamoy Tzukas, following Shnas Hashmita, was done by reading from the Sefer Azara. That's interesting. In the Chumash, it sounds like it. That it says, when Moshe Rabbeinu, he called us Moshe, he wrote the whole Torah. He told them that they should put it there. And then he says, every seventh year after Shnas HaShemitah, yeah. That's also the end of Shlishi, the beginning of Revi. I don't know why they put the end of Shlishi there. Okay, they're either not psukim if they read it otherwise. But it says Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Sefer Azara to the Kohen Bnei Levi, and he said, "Don't forget to lay it on Hatmah." So it sounds a little bit from the Chumash like that. That maybe the Sefer Azara has a special status. Take the Sefer. That until the end of the Aboyim Shana, the Sefer Habris was from the beginning of Bereshis till the end of Mishpatim. That's what Rashi wrote on Mishpatim. When it came the end of the 40 years in the Midbar, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, use text A over here, use text B, use text C, put together the whole Sefer Torah, to stitch everything together. So that took over, that became the Sefer Abyss. What was before the Sefer Abyss at the time of Amar HaSinai, because the rest of the Torah wasn't yet given. So that's no longer the Sefer Abyss. So Tosfos in the first Perek of Bava Basra quotes Rashi that Hakel was done after with the Sefer Azara. And then Rashi also says, Tosfos quotes it there, the first parak in Bava Basra, that the Kriyas HaTorah of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur is a Din D'oraisa. It's not enough that the Kohen Gadol does the Avodah. Part of the Sefer Avodah is that he has to learn from the Sefer Torah, has to learn from Parshas Achrimos and from Parshas Pinchas about the Korbanos that he did. The same Din applies, there's a Din Kriyas HaTorah D'oraisa when you happen to make a Parah Adumah. The Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur did every year. He did the Korbanos on Yom Kippur every day. He laid, but Parah Adumah wasn't every year. Once every 150 years or so, when they ran out of ashes, so they had to make a new Parah Adumah. So the Gemara learns that in the beginning of Yom, the Gemara learns that at the time of Binyan Hamishkan, they needed Dafke. There was Kriyas HaTorah that was needed together with Binyan Hamishkan, and then when you make a Parah Adumah, you have to lane. The Gemara has this word that is me'akev, And then the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur has to learn also as part of the Seder Avodah. There's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch. It says that some say the Machaber writes, some say that Parshas Zochar is a Din D'Oraisa, and some say that Parshas Parah is a Din D'Oraisa. So the Vilna Gaon says it's a misprint. It doesn't make any sense. How can it be that Parshas Parah is D'Oraisa? But it appears in a few Rishonim, the Parshas Parah is D'Oraisa. So that's a discussion. Where is the Machaber? So some say that's what it means. Every 150 years, when you make a Parah D'Oraisa, 200 years, when you make a Parah Numa, so that's the Gemara learns out from Sukkot, after Lane, the Parsha of Chukas, Parsha's Parah, in conjunction, not every year, on Shabbos Parsha's Parah, before Pesach. To be Pesach, according to Pesach, we learn Parsha's Parah to announce to the public that everybody has to become Tohar. If they'll be Tami, they won't be able to participate in Korban Pesach. But so that's not a Din D'Oraisa, that's a Din D'Rabbanan, to announce to the public. But Parsha's Parah D'Oraisa, that means, that's what some Achrayim say, that means when you're making a Parah Duma, then you have to learn Parsha's Parah D'Oraisa. The Takana that you learn Kriya Sater every Sheni V'Hamishi, two or three times a week, Shabbos, every Sheni V'Hamishi, not to go 3 days without the Talmud Torah Barabim, that the Gemara says that's a Takanas Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Beis Dino, the Minbar, they made that Takana. That's not a Din D'Oraisa. But it would appear, Rav Soloveitchik thought it would appear, that there's a kiyum d'oraisa. But just like the Rambam is of the opinion that the obligation to daven is min haTorah, the Gemara learns after the pasuk Rav, the b'chol avavcham b'avodah shebalev, one of the first daven tainis. So the Rambam counts it as a real mitzvah d'oraisa. He says one is obligated to daven once a day, every day, to daven one tefillah. And the Gemara says tefillah is only the Rabbanan. It means the fact that you daven 3 times a day, 4 times a day, 5 times a day on Yom Kippur, you have Nila, that's been the Rabbanan. The fact that you have a particular text, the Nusach HaTefillah, that's the Rabbanan. But the frame, the outline of the daven is that you start to Shevach and you end off with Haidoya, and the essence of the tefillah, the middle part, the Bakosh is Sarachim, that is their Raisa, and the Rambam thinks he Mukhif the daven Atar once a day. Every day. So the Ramban disagrees with the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvah. He thinks that tefillah is only the Rabbanan, only be'ez tzara, when there's a mochame, when there's a famine, when there's an epidemic, when there's some serious tzaras harabim, tzaras tibur, then there's a chiyuv tefillah d'oraisa. But the Ramban is masking that inyan tefillah d'oraisa. What inyan tefillah? It's a kiyum d'oraisa. It's a kiyum d'oraisa. If once in a while you're mechuyev to daven, even the daily davening that we do, we're not mechuyev to. But if sometimes you're mechuyev, so then even when you're not mechuyev, that would constitute a kiyum. So Leitchik thought that the fact that once every 7 years there's a chiyuv to lein hakel, they lein kriyas haTorah b'tzibur, the rabbin, even if you hold it all year long, the kriyas haTorah is only the rabbanon. The Gemara says Moshe Rabbeinu was mesaken to lein every sheni v'chamishi on Shabbos. Some mishanim hold that kriyas haTorah on Shabbos is a din d'oraisa, but not to let 3 days go by without laying, that's only the Rabban. But a kiyum, it probably is the rice, the kiyum of Talmud Torah Barabbin. It is a kiyum, the rice. That was a big chiddush that the Netziv quotes from the Vilna Gaon. He writes, when he came to Balozhin, Netziv came to Balozhin, I think before his Bar Mitzvah. So he came to learn about Balozhin. So he, at the end of the Chumash Vayikra, the end of Vayikra, he quotes, I think he says, Rav David Tebel, the author of the Nachman David, was still alive. And he said that he heard from Abraham Avojana, the name of the Vilna Goyim, that Chiddush, that even though we're only obligated to eat matzah, Leil HaSeder, but if you eat matzah the rest of Pesach, it's a key of my mitzvah. The Gemara says, Rishus. What do you mean, Rishus? If you don't want to, you don't have to. You want to eat. If you're hungry, so eat matzah, so it'll fill you up. So the quote in the name of Vilna Gaon Rishus means it's a mitzvah of Rishus. That's a chiddush that there's such a thing. There are people in our generation who claim that Vilna Gaon never said it. Because the word mitzvah means mitzvah, a commandment, not a good deed. So how can you have a commandment that's only Rishus? How can it be optional? By definition, can't be such a thing. There's a big Talmud Chacham out, so he says it can't be. The Vilna Gaon never said it. So the Netziv also thought that it's shocking. It's surprising to have a mitzvah, so he says. It's authentic. He heard it from Adavit Temple, who heard it from when he came to learn about Lojin. Rav Chaim Volozhin was no longer alive, but he said he heard it from the Talmud. Rav Chaim Volozhin, the author of the Nachman's David, said he heard from Rav Chaim Volozhin, the name of the Vilna Gaon, that that's what the Vilna Gaon said. So they didn't see that. On a few additional things that he thinks are mitzvahs or rishus. If you do it, there's a kiyum. Even though you're not obligated to do it, but if you do it, there's a kiyum. So they used that on a lot. He thought that there are a lot of things that there's a kiyum there. So one of them is tefillah. The Ramban says inyan tefillah. The reason there is a chiyuv to daven every day is only the Rabbanan, but there's a chiyuv there, Raisa, in Kriyas HaTorah. But Rabbim, only chiyuv once every 7 years to lay in Hakel. But whenever you lay in Barabim, that would be a chiyuv of Talmud Torah. Yeah, what's the story with Hakel today? So the pashtus is that we don't have a melech. The Mishnah describes the way they did Hakel. The melech would lay. So is the melech me'akev? So the pashtus said the melech is not me'akev. The Gemara doesn't learn that out from Pesukim. You want the melech to be kofuf to the, what it says in the Torah also. It's a good idea that the members of the government should look in the Chumash. They should be religious. The stoop on my building is an Ochri, and he's a waiter in the steakhouse. So he was telling my wife last week with great excitement that the prime minister of Medina Israel was in his steakhouse. He ate steak by him. The tradition always used to be that the prime minister doesn't eat chazer in public. He doesn't go to a non-kosher restaurant. But this, unfortunately, this rotten government that they have now in Eretz Yisrael has to go. They don't even follow that decency. The elite steak in a kosher steakhouse is terrible. So the pashtus is that the melech leining the kriyas haTorah by the hakel is not me'akev, but the shmita is me'akev. Rova poskim hold that shmita is not as is only the rabban. The problematic case of Mishnah on the Rambam, in one place he claims that the Rambam seems to hold that shmita is their isa today. But it's pretty obvious that the Rav Yosef carried himself back down. But they quote that later, he said not so. It's assumed that shmita is not as is only the rabban. Rabbi Yosef Engel wrote a whole countries about Shemitah, Eitz Rus Yosef, about Shemitah. So he says he's prepared to swear a shvur de raisa and a sefer Torah, that the Rambam holds that Shemitah is banned as the Rabban, not like the Kesa Mishnah. It's not given. Shemitah is banned as the Rabban. So that's why the whole Hakel is, we're not Mechuyiv. There's no mitzvah of Hakel. He spoke the other day, what's the klal? Is it permissible to do an imitation mitzvah? The Gemara says, if you don't have a kosher shofar, you only have a puzzle of shofar, so you can't be yatzei. If you don't have kosher essence, so you can't shake davening. So the Gemara says, that maybe I should take a lemon instead, if you don't have an essence of that, maybe I should take a lemon for educational purposes, that the children should know that there's such a thing as davening. Children who were so young last year, they never saw a Sheikh Davening. So this year, they're not going to see. So they won't know that there's such a mitzvah. So the Gemara says, no, it's not a good idea. The Gemara says, by the Esrog, it's not a good idea, because maybe next year an Esrog will be available. The people will remember that last year we used a lemon that said Sunkist, the printed in green ink on the yellow lemon. So they may decide to use a lemon this year also. So that's what the klal is. So in Shulchan Aruch, they say the same is true regarding a shofar. If the only shofar that's available is a puzzle of shofar, you shouldn't blow shofar, because next year they may have available a kosher shofar, and they'll remember last year we blew from the puzzle of shofar. They won't remember last year we blew without a bracha. We made a whole announcement that it's only zecher l'mitzvah shofar. We're not being used to anything. So the people may only remember half the story. They'll remember we used the shofar, we'll use it again this year. So that's the klal. That's what the haderis wrote a whole essay that's called Zecha Lahakel. Is it permissible to make an imitation mitzvah, to make a Zecha Lahakel today? So he says, when he came to Yerushalayim, he was appointed to take over the Rabbonis by the Ashkenazim. Rav Shmuel Salant was getting old, and there was a whole pilpul for a few years. Who should they invite to come from Europe to take over the Rabbonis in Yerushalayim? So the Aderis came. after all the pilpul the Aderis came. So he came something like 1901 and he died in 1906. And the Chumash Alant was still going strong. He lived to a very old age. So the Aderis writes that he asked around and he heard that for generations that was always the practice. The Malamdim and Yibishalayim used to bring the children to the Kaislam Aravi and Chalamay Tzuk and Sfan and Shtas HaShmita, and everybody would have a Chumash. Little children are learning Chumash. They would have a Chumash and they would all read Sukim that the Melech would read. So he says, no one raised an issue that there should be anything wrong in making a Zecher Akel. What's the din? So he says, the Klal of the Gemara is, you're permitted to do an imitation mitzvah if you think it has educational value, but you're going to make women happy. The women want to do smicha and karbonis, like the men do. The feminists, it's my version, they want to do smicha and karbonis. The rabbis didn't let them, they're not allowed to. So it was a big machlokes. Would we permit the women to do imitation smicha? What's the shot? Imitation smicha, the way it says in our Gemara. The Chachmei Parvans had a totally different gusa. The Raivin and the Irid had a different gusa than the Gemara Chagiga. The way it says in our Gemara is that whenever you do smicha, you have to lean on the animal b'chol kocho to the extent that if you take away the carbon, you're going to fall down. You have to lean mamish on the animal. So the women are not allowed to lean on the animal because that's called avoda because men have a chiyuv too. So it's mutter. But it says in Chumash, "Basada b'b'chol sherecha, alasada b'b'chol tzaynecha." You're not allowed to do avoda because the ila is if I get hanua, not getting any hanua. He's leaning on. He's not interested in leaning on the animal. He's doing it because he's chiyuv. But that's an iser avoda. Basada b'b'chol sherecha, even kachim kalim. Where there's no din of me'ila, but there is at least a giz of avoda. That's called the isa giz of avoda. It even applies to kachin kam. So that the woman should lean v'chol koich according to the girsa that we have, not allowed. So we just put the tell the women, akufa yadachu, have your hands floating on top of the animal, don't lean on the animal. So one time I said, we should make exer the rabbanon. We shouldn't permit the women to do imitation smicha because it may be body day churva. They may think that they can do smicha just like the men. And the men lean b'chol koich, and if the women do it, they'll be in violation of avoda b'kachin. And the other time says, even though you're right, you ought to make such exer the rabbanon. But today last us, nachas ruach l'noshim, the feminists were upset. Why the rabbis are cheating them? Why they dash their pasuk in such a way that the women are not allowed to do smicha? So you have to permit them to violate this din the rabban, even though you shouldn't allow imitation smicha. But for the purpose of giving nachas ruach to the women, you're allowed to. That's what the rabbi Natan based in shita on, that women who want to shake a lulav may say a bracha. Why they say bracha? It's a bracha levatola. They're not mechuyev to shake a lulav. Why should they say bracha? So he says the bracha of Atal is only the Rabbanan. So they last us, and the women feel cheated. They feel upset. Why they can't say a bracha? Only the men say a bracha. So we permit the women to say a bracha of Atal, since it's only Nisa the Rabbanan. We permit them. Kedei last us nachas ruach l'nosh. That's the Rabbi Natan Shita. And many Chacham Avadia followed the Sfardish Shita that they hold that bracha of Atal is an Isa their Isa. The Gemara says, Brach Shein Etzricha is an Issa de Rabbon. That a person is eating a meal, then he's going to bench early, and then he wants to continue eating fruits, he's going to continue eating vegetables or meat after the benching. So what did he bench for? He could have covered anything. Well, let's say he has a big meal. So he's going to bench in the middle, then he's going to wash again and say Amoitzi again, and then eat the second meal. He could have eaten everything in one meal, covered everything with one Tivus Yadayim, one Amoitzi and one Bichzamoz, and at the end, he divides the meal in two, unnecessarily. So that's Garen Baruch Hashem and Tzvicha. So the Gemara says, Garen Baruch Hashem and Tzvicha, that's only the Rabbon, that's not a Nisa Derais. Garen Baruch Hashem and Tzvicha. But Baruch Levatola, that's a question. So Rabbeinu Tam holds that Baruch Levatola is also only the Rabbon. So the women, we permit the women to do an Issa de Rabbanan, to say a bracha levatola, g'day la'atzas nachas ruach l'nosh. Maybe if the woman is not a feminist, maybe she shouldn't say a bracha. It's only if the women feel bad. I don't think my wife would feel bad. Tell her to shake a lula without a bracha. Maybe they're all feminists. I don't know. Anyway, so that's what the Aderis wrote that there was the first father-in-law of Rav Kook. Rav Kook married his daughter and then she died. And then the Aderis, his former father-in-law, convinced him that he should marry his former wife's cousin, his niece. He was a twin, so he had a twin brother. So the second wife of Rav Kook was a cousin of the first one. When the Aderis passed away, Rav Kook delivered a whole essay and he published the Sefer Eider HaYakar about his dear father-in-law, how great he was. He was one of the prominent rabbis in Europe. Anyway, so we assume that Hakol today is not obligatory, and the Aderis wrote a whole country that there's nothing wrong with having a Zecher LaHakol. He asked around and they told him that for generations, that's what the Malamdim used to do. They used to take the little children to the Kaislam Arari. I think probably after Hakamas Amadina. So then when the Rabbanut took over and the Rabbanut did it, they used to have the Rosh HaMem Shalah read from the Sefer Torah. So the Rosh HaMem Shalah was not always so religious, but the president would read from the Sefer Torah. So they knew how to read Hebrew without the Kudus. But they weren't always the most observant people in the Midrash Israel. Maybe that's why when the Chazon Ish passed away, they published a collection of letters of the Chazon Ish, a different inyan, a few collections. But at the end of the first volume, small little sefer, at the end of the first volume, they write that the Chazon Ish had a copy of this little pamphlet that was written by the Aderis about Zecher LaHakel, and he wrote it was a soft cover sefer. And he wrote on the outside of the cover, "En mismach hamashikos of the sefer hazeh." So that's why in Eretz Yisrael, when they have the Zecher LaHakel, this coming Sukkot, all the yeshiva guys boycotted because the Chazon Ish said you shouldn't go. No, no. If it's true, I don't know if it's true. That's what they put in the book that the Chazon Ish wrote, "En mismach hamashikos of the sefer hazeh." If it's true, I don't think he's disagreeing with what the Aderis said. He probably thought that it's a farce that they have. He didn't think so highly of the Rabbanut, and he didn't think so highly of the Rosh HaMemshalah. The Rosh HaMemshalah were never too, there aren't so medaktik and mitzvahs, and the presidents were not always so religious. So that's probably why he was upset. If it's really true, then he was upset. Hakel is an important exception to the rule. The Gemara in the end of the first parak in Kedushin postulates, the Mishnah postulates, all the women are exempt from mitzvah saseh shehazman groma. Now Hakel is clearly mitzvah saseh shehazman groma. Once every 7 years you have a mitzvah that's called the zman groma. And the Pasuk said the Hirsh, anoshim anoshim ataf. So the Gemara says that's one of the exceptions to the rule. Then Kiddush is also an exception to the rule. And matzah is also an exception to the rule. Korban Pesach and Machlag is Satanayim, whether Noshim Barish and Chayva or not. There's so many exceptions to the rule. The Rambam writes in one place in the Pirush Hamishnayos, there are more exceptions to the rule than mitzvahs that are governed by the rule. How many mitzvahs are there that is my grammar that the women are put there from? Tzitzis, Tfilin, Lulav, Shofar, Sukkah, how many more? Not too many more. I don't know how many mitzvahs are there. Most of the mitzvahs, my grandma, the women, I'm a they're more, that's what they're on, right? They're more exceptions to the rule. They're mitzvahs that are governed by the rule. That's a pasuk. It says everyone has to show up for Hakel. The Ramban HaChumash is not sure who the taf is. But the taf refers to children who are gil l'chinuch, a little bit of gil l'chinuch. At least they'll be able to tell over. We were there on Sukkot, and the Melech was laying from the Sefer Torah. He'll be able to say over what happened. What if it's Yonke Shaddai? What if it's Mamsh Tinoikis and diapers also? Taf usually means young little babies. So the Ramban is in the Sukkot, but it makes sense. He thinks that it means even Yonke Shaddai. Because the Gemara says, Ha'anashim Boim Wilmot, Ha'anashim Boim Lishmoya. Because women are not mechuyev to learn Talmud Torah, so Hashem Baruch Lishmaya. Okay, but Tafel Lama Boim Litan Schalim Mivieya. That's the Gemara on the second daf in the Chagiga, the Gimel. What does it say at the top? Why don't they say? They'll be able to, they'll be impressed by the Maimed. They'll be employing Chatzotras. Everyone who goes, all the tourists that go to Eretz Yisrael, this Sukkot, they're all going to come back. Everyone's going to say what happened by the Zeicha Lahakel. Why don't you just say, Ataf, why do you bring the Taf? They'll be able to tell over. We saw, we participated in Hakel. The Ramban says, when the fact that the Gemara says, Litan Skalim Evian would appear, that is talking about young Keshadayim, who don't, nothing will register by that. They won't even see what they see. They won't understand anything that happened. Mamish, literally, Lo Higir L'chinach at all. They don't understand anything. Now, so the Etchik said that his grandfather, Abchaim, thought that notwithstanding the Ramban's argument, he thought that it does not make sense that you should bring Taf. You bring Taf. The baby is misasek. He doesn't know b'chlam what's going on. He doesn't understand anything. He doesn't even realize that the Melech is learning from the Sefer Torah. So he thought that the Ramban's maskana didn't make sense. He thought that more mistaba was that the Taf, that the person is thinking, that talking about, at least they're old enough to be able to say over that they saw the Maimar of Hakel. The Rambam writes the Dinam of Hakel at the end of Hilchos Chagigah in the Rambam. So he says, when the Melech reigned Hakel, it's a reenactment of Maimar HaSinah. Just like at HaSinah, the Baruch Shalom is through Moshe Rabbeinu, who's giving all the Dinam to Bnei Yisrael severe. This is a reenactment. So that's what some of Soledad was fond of saying this over. Some of the Achraim assume that Kriyas HaTorah 3 days a week, Shani Mechamish and Shabbat, always a reenactment of Maimon HaSina. Whenever you like Kriyas HaTorah. That's why there's a minig, it's not a din, there's a minig that's rooted in a passage in the Zohar that the Shulchan, where you like Kriyas HaTorah, should be on an elevated platform. But just like Maimon HaSina, the Torah was proclaimed from atop of the mountain, so to the Balkorishan Lane on top of an elevated platform. So then the Achreinim add on, I don't think this is in the Achreinim add on, that's only in the Beis HaKnesses, which is Miuchad B'Tfilin, so you have to have an elevated platform. If you have a Beis HaMedrash, that's Miuchad for learning. So the whole Beis HaMedrash is at top of the mountain. Everybody's learning, all day long they're learning it. So you don't need an elevated platform in a Beis HaMedrash. You need an elevated platform for duchening, maybe. Duchening. The word duchen means a platform. So the Levim used to stand, Levim and duchen. Levim used to play music, so you play music on an elevated platform. They would sing. So the voice should carry further. So that's when the Kohanim would duchen, when the Kohanim would give the Brichas Kohanim, they would stand on top of the platform so the voice would carry. So that's a shaila, whether the platform is really ma'akev. What if the Kohanim don't have a platform to stand on? So there's a minority opinion among the Sfardish Achronim that the standing on the duchen is ma'akev. By Ashkenazim, no one ever thought that it's ma'akev. L'hatchila, you should have an elevated platform so the voice will carry to the back of Yeshua. But nobody from Ashkenazim ever held that it's ma'akev. So I remember many years ago, we spent one summer in Beit Gantz. I used to daven a lot in Yeshiva called Torah. So they had among the students, there were Sfardim and Ashkenazim, people from the neighborhood would come. So they do it every day there. So first they would allow all the Sfardim to stand up on the platform right in front of the Sefer, right in front of the Yoreh Kodesh for Duchen. And there would be a little extra room, so a couple of Ashkenazim would go up also on the platform. But first they had the Sfardim go up, because the only poskim who hold that is ma'akev in the Yevid, are a minority opinion among the Sfardim. By the Ashkenazim, nobody holds that it's ma'akev. So they gave the kedima to the Sfardim. The Torah had earlier the dinam of the Melech. Melech has to write a Sefer Torah. Kosolos Mishnah HaTarazos. What do you mean Mishnah HaTarazos? So you might understand the notion Sefer Torah Sheni. A second copy. Every Jewish person has an obligation. Everybody has an obligation to write one Sefer Torah. Melech has to write another Sefer Torah that should be light, that he should be able to carry with. Has to be a light Sefer Torah that he can carry with him. The Koreba Koli Mechayov. So the Rambam quotes from the Sifrei, as on the Pasuk, like it says, Mantisko Semtesman Sayyid Koli Mechayecha Mechayecha Hayonim, Koli Mechayecha Halilos, even also says, the Koreba Koli Mechayov. So the Melech has to carry this Evidor with him all day long, and he has to learn a little bit by Yom or Balayla. Every day he has to learn a little bit of the Evidor by Yom, a little bit by Balayla, because it says, Koreba Koli Mechayev. Then the Rambam quotes from the Tosefta. The din is, the Gemara has this din in Megillah. When you write a Sefer Torah, you're supposed to have another Sefer Torah and copy the new one from the old one. The Gemara says, Rav Meir was a Sefer. So he went to Asia, the Gemara says. After his wife committed suicide, whatever, he was embarrassed because of his sister or because of his wife, whatever happened. So he left there until he went to Asia. So he needed a Sefer Torah. So he didn't have another Sefer Torah to copy from, but he knew everything by heart, word for word, letter for letter. So he wrote one Sefer Torah, and then he wrote another Sefer Torah, copying from the first one, the length from the second one. That's what it says in the Gemara. You figure it out. I don't know. The second one was better than the first one because the second one was copied from a Sefer Torah. So the Rambam writes, the Rambam quotes a perception when you write the Sefer Torah Shamelach, you have to copy it from the Sefer Azorah. So it sounds like the Sefer Torah Shamelach also has the status of a Sefer Azorah. That's why you have to copy it. Not enough just to copy from any old Sefer Torah. You have to copy it from a Sefer Azorah. So maybe that's why Rashi said that the Sefer Azorah should be used for hakel, because the minig was, I don't know if it's a bit, I mean, the practice was that the melech would lain by hakel. So maybe he would lain from the Sefer Torah Shamelach, which had the status of the Sefer Azar. Whenever you copy another Sefer from the Sefer Azar, apparently also had the status of the Sefer Azar. We don't have the Beis Hamidrash, we don't have the Sefer Azar, so we're guessing. We don't know what anything is all about it. How does one visualize Hakel? Remember Rabbi Schwab, Sulchan Aruch, used to be the rabbi here in Broyas Kehillah. So he, once it was a sukkah, his father, Shnas HaShmita, he spoke a little bit about Hakel. So I wasn't sure, I doubted the Mishina. But so he told me over what he suggested. How can you have millions of people standing and listening to Kriyas HaTorah? How did his voice carry? He didn't have any loudspeakers. So he was guessing. So he thought maybe they had a crowd and he would lay in a few psukim and then the crowd would listen to a few psukim and then they'd walk out. Then another crowd would come in. He would keep on laying another few psukim. Each group would hear two or three psukim and then they would leave. So he asked me, he thought that Shimon Resim, he probably studied Josephus. So he asked me, am I familiar? Does Josephus ever describe what Hakel is all about? I said, I never saw Josephus. I don't know what he says. I don't know, we should take a look. He told me that was his suggestion. That was his suggestion. In Broya, that's how they have, when they have a l'chaim, when you have a reception, when you have a shalom zacher, or you have a bris or something like that. So they have, everyone goes in and says mazel tov, they take a cookie and they walk out. So another person walks in and says mazel tov, they walk out. It's a reception line. So that's how he was visualizing the hakel was like a reception line. That people go in, a big room, there's no loudspeaker, and the melech is laying. And then they hear two or three psukim, then they leave. Then the next group hears a few psukim. But it's a chiddush that you don't have to stand and listen to the whole Kriyas HaTorah from the beginning to the end. Otherwise, he couldn't visualize how it was going to happen. What do you say? Could you be yotze with a loudspeaker? That's a question. Let's say Mikra Megillah on a loudspeaker. So the Chazon Ish and Rav Soloveitchik and Rav Moshe Feinstein all said the same thing, that it's a speaker to Dina. Where you can be Yotze Mikra Megillah on a loudspeaker. Why? The Mishnah says that on Rosh Hashanah, if you hear Kol Havara, you're not Yotze, only if you hear Kol HaShofar. If you hear the echo, it's no good. So the echo is no good because it's cloudy, it's foggy, it's not so clear. But if you're on a loudspeaker, then it is clear. Or should you say, no, echo is not good because it's not the original call? You have to hear the original call. So Rav Moshe Feinstein wrote, printed a tshuva like that. So Sufik Mikra Megillah is only the Rabbanon. So he says, if they're having Mikra Megillah on a loudspeaker, so you shouldn't make too much of a tumult. You should try to convince them they should learn without a loudspeaker. But if they insist they want to do it like that, it's fake of the Rabbanon Lekulam, maybe he hears. Rav Shlomo Zalman Reubach writes that he heard this from the Chazon Ish. He says, how can it be? You're not hearing at all the call of the Balkare. It's converted into electrical current, then it's converted back into sound waves. It's not at all the call. How can you say? There was years ago, there used to be one of the Chazon Kusovitsky, from the famous Chazon. So he was invited to daven for Rabbi in a different shuls on a Shabbos. So then on Matzoi Shabbos, he would always call his mother on the phone. He would say Havdalah on the phone. His mother should be at Havdalah on the phone. So that's what Shlomo Zalman thought. It can't be Yotze. That's not Shemek Kainan. You're hearing the sound waves that were converted into electrical waves and converted back into new sound waves. It's in Gamsa, no Hemshech from the before. Yeah. Very questionable. But it's called Shmiya at all. That's why, let's say, when you have a wedding, you have to have a minion to say the Sheva Brachas, the Bichas Nisuin. Bichas Erisin is just a minion that you have a minion. But if there's any slight chance of Chah, you can say Bichas Erisin without a minion. But Bichas Nisuin, the minion is not to be the other. What do you mean a minion? You have to say the Brachas loud enough that 10 people hear it. So if you say on the loudspeaker, nobody hears. Everybody hears from the loudspeaker. Nobody hears the sound coming from your mouth. So that's at every wedding, you'll see that there are always some, they've started a new practice, and instead of asking Rabbanim, when I was growing up, they would pick one rabbi who would say all the brachas under the chuppah. That used to be the practice. And then they decided to be mechaber many rabbanim. Now they mechaber all the uncles, sometimes the aunts, and the cousins, and they break their teeth and they mispronounce all the words. It's not a smart idea to have relatives. You have Rabbanim say the bracha. So that's when you have a wedding where Rabbanim are saying the bracha. So a lot of times Rabbanim don't want to say the bracha into the loudspeaker. So they'll say the bracha without a loudspeaker.
I'm mostly suggest that if you could hear, 10 people would be able to hear without the microphone, it would be fine.
Yeah.
Everything that's...
Is it true? Is it true? Those who are standing under the chuppah, do they hear the sound from the one who's saying the bracha directly? Or everything is taken over by the loudspeaker sound? I don't know. You have to try, test it out to find out. Then Moshe Rabbeinu predicts what's going to happen. He knows that after he dies, the Jewish people will sin. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will haste panem yikem. So a lot of people misunderstand what it means, haste panem. They think haste panem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not giving any hashgacha practice to the Jewish people. And we're on our own. So there is a sefer on the Rambam that's called the Yad HaKtana. The one who wrote the sefer doesn't write his name. I think they say he was a banker. He's a very learned person. It's a fat sefer. Yad HaKtana, the Pisrei Tshuva. The other day, he quotes it a few times. Hilchas Milah, Hilchas Sefer Torah. He quotes it. It's a very good sefer. So the Yad HaKtana has a whole essay about this. Another sefer saying, Hestepanim doesn't mean that we're on our own, that there's no Hashgach. Hestepanim means HaKadosh Baruch has made since Min HaHarakim, like he's looking through the peephole in the door, and he's looking at us. We can't see him. His face is hidden. We can't see him, but he sees everything that's happening by us. And he's exercising his hashgacha pratis on the Jewish people. And the Gemara in the first parak in Chagiga tells the story of one of the Amoraim. In the days of the Amoraim, they used to have debates, in the days of the Talmud also, they used to every so often have a debate with a Christian. And the Christians claim that the Jews lost their status as the Yam HaNivcha because we didn't accept the Yashke, we didn't accept Jesus as the Lord. And they say that's why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, because we rejected Jesus. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the year 70. Jesus was killed way before. Doesn't stim. The whole thing doesn't stim. But that's they've been preaching that for years. So the Gemara said there was a debate that was held in Pergamon in front of the governor. And so the Christians had the upper hand. The governor didn't care for the Jewish religion. So the Christian looked at the rabbi, and he turns his back and he goes like this. He walks away. And then the rabbi has to respond, so the rabbi goes like this. He's looking at the Christian, goes like this. So the governor didn't understand what the whole debate was. He didn't understand what he said, what he said. So he called the Christian, the early Christian, said, "What did you say?" He says, "I turned my back. God turns his back to the Jewish people, and he says, Gebabi, Ayash Lechem al Eretz Acheres, Tayyam Azeh." He no longer holds. God doesn't hold the Jewish people any longer as the Amanit. And what was the response of the rabbi? He said he doesn't know what the response was. So then the rabbi, the governor asked the rabbi, what did the Christians say? The Christians said, we're no longer the Amanit. And he showed, God turns his back, and he goes like this. What did you respond? No. Oh, Yoda Netuya. The fact that the Jewish people are always singled out and they're always pogroms and redifas against the Jews, that shows that we're still the Aman Yifra. And Hestepanim doesn't mean, that's what the Yadaktanics, Hestepanim doesn't mean that there's no Hashgacha Pratis to protect us. There is Hashgacha Pratis. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps on hitting the Jewish people, all Yoda Netuya, keeps on causing the Jewish people to suffer, means that there is Hashgacha Pratis. We can't see it. It's not obvious. Years ago, it used to be obvious. It's been Mitzrayim, and Nisim, and Eplos, and Mon, and Slav, and everything was Min HaShemayim. And the Machem Islam and Aleph Malach, everything was Lamayla Min HaTeva. So then, it was clear that there was Hashgacha Pratis. And now we don't see it. But there is Hashgacha Pratis. So that's what we assume. As the Panim just means that Kadosh Baruch Hu is hiding, but it doesn't mean that he's not looking after us. So the Gemara says, "Esta manatar minayin." The Gemara in the end of Chumash says, "Where do you have a source in Chumash?" In the Megillah says, "There, everything sounds like everything was teva. The Jewish girl happened to marry the king, and the whole story. And we believe that even though Shem Hashem doesn't appear, everything was Hashgacha min HaShemayim." There was Hester Bonnet, but there was clearly Hashgacha Pratis. Everything happened exactly in favor of the Jewish people. So that's what Hester Bonnet was all about. That's what the Gemara said. Hester Menadam and Shalem and Hester Bonnet in the end. The Gemara says, Hama Menatar Menai. You're saying, Hama Menatar Menai. Where's that marker? The Gemara quotes the Pasek, Hamin Ho'etz Hachin Tzivisich Ledulti Ochon Menu Acholto. The word is Hamin Ho'etz, not Haman. So what did it say? Hama Menatar Menai. So the quote from the Vilna Gaon that in Gan Eden, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Adam Rishon permission to eat, and kol eitz agana achol techo. With people eats the eitz adas, he's not allowed to eat from. So why did he dafka want to eat from the eitz adas? That wasn't the only tree. There are different opinions what the eitz adas was, whether it was an esrei, or it was chita, or a teina, yispar ali teina. All the different opinions. But it wasn't the only esrei tree. There were other esrei trees. They all tasted the same. So there's so many trees. So why did Adam HaRishon want to eat from the Eitz HaDaas? That's it. People, they have everything, but they want to have more. They have more than enough. They want to have more. Everyone was Kareh Mishtach V'Tohaman, except for Mordechai. So he was upset. What are you so upset about? There are hundreds of thousands of other people bowing to Kareh Mishtach V'Tohaman. That's human psychology. We're not satisfied with everything that we have. We want to have more. We want to have more. So that's what the Vilna Gaon said. That's Pshat. Where do you see the Tarach record such a psychology? But even though everybody's bowing down to Haman, he wants to have Mordechai. It bothers him that Mordechai, the only Jew, the other Jews were bowing down. So they quote Haminu Eitz Hashir Tzvi Sicha. Other Marishim could have eaten from all the trees. He dafka wanted the forbidden. The grass is always greener on the other side. He thought Automation thought that the Eitz Hadas probably going to taste better than the other. They all tasted the same. They were all the same. So that's what Haman. He wasn't satisfied that everybody's Karev B'Shtach. He wanted to have every Haman. Mordechai should also be Karev B'Shtach. Tell a story that there was a period of time that the Baal Shem Tov and Rebbe Yehuda lived in the same little village. They were related by marriage. They were cousins by marriage. And they got along together. But Rebbe Yehuda was not happy about the new movement, about the Chassidish movement. He has a tshuva that you're not going to say the Shem Yichu, because it's against the Gemara. The Gemara says, when you bring Karbon, it's Tama Lishman. He says, whenever you do mitzvahs, tam on the Shemon. So what do you have to say in the Mucha Mezuman for? It's against the Gemara. It's if you're demonstrating that Staman is not the Shemon. So he was upset. Why? And then he ends off that tshuva. It's a very short tshuva, one paragraph. He says, the chassidim are wrong. And as the pasuk says, the pasuk is the last pasuk in Hosea. It's in this week's Haftarah. This week's Haftarah, Shuvi Zorah Hashem Alakecha, is from Hosea. So the last pasuk in that section is Kishan Dachi Hashem Tzadik Miochavam Ufoshi Mikosh Levam. So the Nari Yehuda writes Tzadik Miochavam Vachasidim Mikosh Levam. That's how he wrote it. But the printer didn't want to extend the type like that. So the printer put in the pasuk Ufoshi Mikosh Levam. So it had nothing to do with the Jula. The whole that he made a pun on the pasuk. Kishan Dachi Hashem, the Torah is straight. Tzadik Miochavam Vachasidim are doing wrong. So the Nari Yehuda was upset. He says, I took Poshim and I made them into Hasidim. The typesetter took the Hasidim and made them into Poshim. That's terrible. But the typesetter didn't want it. They used to have a lot of freedom then. And they didn't, when they were setting the type in the Jerusalem, if they didn't like what it said, they would change the text. Today, you would never get away with that today. Just to change what it says. So there was once an issue. There was a shot about the kashrus of a certain food. So the Rabbi Yehuda worked hard and came up with a heter. So the Baal Shem Tov was there. So he said, I knew all along that it was kosher. Had ruach ha-tahara. So the Rabbi Yehuda didn't like that. Ruach ha-tahara. He said, Gemara said, there's an agadat in the Gemara. I see the Torah should tishtakach Yisrael. The Torah will be forgotten. The Gemara starts off. The day will come, the Torah will be forgotten for the Jewish people, that a woman will come to the Beis Medrash with a loaf of bread and ask a shayla whether it's kosher or not. So, why is the Torah going to be forgotten? I mean, the woman won't know ABC. If the loaf of bread is coming, why should the loaf of bread not be kosher? What Mafish Jumas and I, what's the shine? So the Rabbi Yehuda said, a lot of times a person is in Rabbanus, the Balabatim don't ask him any shalas. He forgets everything that he learned the other day. But if the Balabatim are coming to ask shalas all the time, he's not going to forget. So what did Mar say? I see the Torah Shev Tishtai, what's up? A woman will come to the basement and ask whether a loaf of bread is kosher. So the answer is, you're going to be paskan and bake some ruach ha-tahara. So that's called Shikchas HaTorah. Because what does she have to bring the loaf of bread for? She should say, what happened? She said, I forgot to be mafish challah. The challah fell in. I forgot to be mafish chumas. When you have a trefah, when you have an animal, you have to look at the trefahs. You can't pass them without looking at the trefah to decide whether it's kosher or not. But if she's on a loaf of bread, what is it going to help? She's going to bring the loaf of bread to into it. It's going to pass them based on ruach ha-tahara and not Shikchas HaTorah. So that's how the Gemara starts off. See the Torah Shetishtakam Yisrael. Then Rav Shem Baichai says, no, it's not going to happen. The Pasuk says, Ahavtochen, he lo seshachach mi pizarayim. The Torah will never be forgotten for the Jewish people. A lot of people will forget. You'll live in a generation. There'll always be, in every generation, there are Talmid HaChacham who know the whole Torah. In some generations, there are a lot of people. The generations, you have to search out the one who knows at a Paschal Rishonos. So I think it's Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is the one. He's the one who said it's never going to happen. Kra'hivtich HaTorah. The Pasuk says, Kilosu Shachach Min Pizar. So on the kever of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai in Meiron, they have that Pasuk, Kilosu Shachach Min Pizar. He was the one in the Gemara Shabbat. He's the one who quoted that Pasuk. So they point out that when they have the pasuk in a semicircle, the Sefer Tevis of Ki Losachem Pizar, it was Yochai. Ki is a Yud, Lo is an Aleph, Yishochach is a Ches, P is a Yud, P Zara is a Vav, spelled out Yochai. His name was Shimon by Yochai, his father's name was Yochai. But that's how they have it, if you ever went to Meiron. That's how they have the pasuk, and the last letter of all the words in the pasuk are bigger letters. So that's the Kevin of Shem Leichai. He's the one who says, I don't promise, but those are Shem Kizan. The Gemara has a machlekes hatana regarding, we learned in Bava Basra this, in the first pair. The Gemara has a machlekes hatana regarding the Shmonim Sukkim Shabbat Torah, the obituary of Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayamashal Moshe Eber Hashem, the last eight Sukkim. Who wrote it? So one Tana said that it was written by Yeshua ben Nun. There's a pasuk in Sefer Yeshua. Yeshua ben Nun wrote something. That has to do with Divrei Torah. So he said he wrote the last Shmonim Psukim Shabbat Torah. And we usually assume, like the other Tana, everything was written by Moshe Rabbeinu. As it says in today's Sefer, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote everything in the Sefer Torah, including the last Psukim. Hello. But he wrote an obituary describing his own death, and it didn't happen yet. Hello. Atkan until the Shmonim Psukim Shabbat Torah, and Kodesh Baruch Hu Omer, and Moshe Omer the Kosev. Kodesh Baruch Hu dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu would say it over first, and then he would write it. The Kamli Eloch, the Shmonim Psukim, the obituary, the description of his death. Kodesh Baruch Hu Omer, and Moshe Kosev Bidema. Moshe Rabbeinu was writing it with tears in his eyes, and it wasn't Omer the Kosev. So Tosis writes on that Gemara. There's a Tosis in Menachos, same Gemara in Bava Basra. There's a Menachos also. Tosis says, "Mikan smach meminig al sofrim." Sofrim have a minig when they write a Sefer Torah, so they copy from another Sefer Torah. So it says they mumble under their breath, "Bereishis bara elokim." Then they write "Bereishis esah shamayim v'haaretz." Then they write. So Tosis says it's a smach to the minig al sofrim. Goes bracha aymer amashayim evikais. Moshe Rabbeinu mumbled and he said it, and then he wrote it. So why does Tosfos say to smach leminig asofim? Isn't it a real thing? That's what it says. Moshe Ayim Evikaisim. Kodesh Baruch Hu Ayim Moshe Ayim Evikaisim. So they quote in the name Rab Chaim that he said something based on the Netziv. Rab Chaim married the Netziv's granddaughter. So he probably read some of the Svarim by the Netziv. So Netziv has a comment on the Pasuk and today said, Kishva Lachem Es Hashir Hazaz Malam Des Bnei Yisrael Sim Levifihem. It says Shiva's Hazina was different from Kala Tarkula. Kala Tarkula first, Moshe Omer v'Kosev. First, Moshe Rabbeinu delivered the Nevuah to Bnei Yisrael. Doesn't mean that he mumbled under his breath, gracious for the king. He delivered the Nevuah to Bnei Yisrael, and then it was Chal Hashem Nevuah. Nevuah means Hashem Bari Nivsvasai Tinuva. Tinuva means Paris. So Nivsvasai means the Paris of the mouth when you pronounce the word. So when Moshe Rabbeinu delivered the Nevuah to Bnei Yisrael, then it was Chalan and Hashem Devuah. After it was Chal Hashem Devuah, first it was Moshe Omer, then Kosev. Then he wrote it down to make it into Torah. Here, Bashiras Hazinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe and Yeshua, this is an exception to the rule. First, Kisra Lachem is Hashir, then the Lam is Bnei Yisrael. First, they should write it, and then they should deliver it to Bnei Yisrael. So that's what the Nesiv thinks it's Posh Pshat in the Pasuk. First he wrote it and then he delivered it in the world, unlike Kol HaTarkut. So that's what they say, B'Shem HaKayim. That's what the Netziv doesn't say, that's Pshat in the Gemara. He said, that's Pshat in the Chumash. That's what HaKayim said, that's Pshat in the Gemara. Moshe, I'm a Vekaisa, but I should deliver it in the world to Bnei Yisrael. It's only a smach l'minig asofim, it's not a real thing. It's an asmachta, but that's not the real pshat. The real pshat is Moshe Rabbeinu Kosev. First, he delivered the nevuah, and then he wrote it down. The Rambam writes that the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah only is required of the men. The women are not chayv. How do the Rambam know women are not mechuyav to write a Sefer Torah? If the women write a Sefer Torah, it'll be puzzled. That's a Gemara Gittin on them here and base. Gemara says, in Chumash Dvarim, we dash in smuchim. Only darshan hekesh. If you have dinim in the same pasuk, that's a hekesh. But if you have two psukim, one next to the other, you don't darshan smuch. But in Mishnah Torah, there are many famous dinim that are based on smuch. But that's one of them that says kshat melos al yadecha, uchtavta mal mezuzas beisecha b'sherecha. Whoever is a bakshira, men who are mechuyev to put on tefillin, akoshet to write a mezuzah. Women are not mechuyev to put on tefillin. She's not a bakshira, so she's not kosher for writing a mezuzah. So if a woman will write a sefer Torah, it'll be possible. But maybe the women are mechuyev to commission a sefer. The women have to have a mezuzah. Mezuzah is a mitzvah says for shalaz. My women are mechuyev mezuzah, but they can't write their own mezuzah. They have to get a man to write the mezuzah. They can hang up the mezuzah on the door. So maybe the women are mechuyev to commission a sefer to write a sefer Torah for them. How did the Rambam know that women are not mechuyev? Just because they say the Torah will be possible, the women will write it. That's not a good reason. So the Beis Halevi has in his sefer, in the truth, he explains pshat like this. The Torah says the reason. The reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants every Jew, the Pasha Pshat and the Pasha Kisva Lachem Asher Azos, Lachem means Moshe and Yeshua should write Hazino, and then they should deliver the Nebuah to Bnei Yisrael. But according to the additional level of interpretation on the Pasha, Kisva Lachem is talking to all the Bnei Yisrael. Kisva Lachem Asher Azos, write the Sefer Torah for what person, for what purpose, but Lamdas Bnei Yisrael, in order to have a Jewish library that you should have a Sefer Torah to learn from. So that's what the Beis Halevi says. Women are potter from Talmud Torah. So the whole purpose of the mitzvah of everybody writing the Sefer Torah is they should learn from it. Women are not mechuyev in Talmud Torah. So that's why the women are not mechuyev in the mitzvah of Ksila Sefer Torah. That should be in violation of the Klal Loi Dashin and Taima Dikra. The Gemara has a machlekes in the end of Bob Metzia. On the level of Sachol Beged Almona, what if the Almona is wealthy? The Gemara says that we know the reason why the din was Sachol Beged Almona. Almona is usually going to be a poor woman, and she doesn't have so much clothing. And so if she's going to buy money, the wealthy man is going to lend her the money, he's going to want a mashkin. So she'll give him her ksusyom at night when she doesn't need it, she'll give him the ksusyom. Then she calls him up in the morning, I need the ksusyom, I have to go make some money, I have to go get a job. So the man is going to say, but I want the pajamas as a mashkin. So the woman is going to have to take off her pajamas. She's going to be standing undressed behind the door. She's going to give out her pajamas, and he's going to give her her dress. Then at night, she says, I want my pajamas back. So he's going to come to her at 10 o'clock at night, 12 o'clock, at 1:30 in the morning, whenever she finishes watching the late show, whatever. And before she goes to sleep, he's going to give her her pajamas. She's going to give him back her dress. So all the neighbors are going to say, the rich man is abusing the woman. He's having an affair every night. He's there at a house at 1 o'clock at night, walking with pajamas in the street, walking back with a dress. Then in the morning, he's there every day. People are going to be, it's going to be Masir Shemra, Yishchen Osel. So Reb Shimon Bar Yochai says, Dashin and Taim and Dikro, whenever you know the reason for the din, whenever the reason doesn't apply, the din doesn't apply. It's from the Midrash HaTorah Nidresh Hashem, that it regulates the application of the mitzvah. We pass on Loi Dashin and Taim and Dikro, that the Taim and Mitzvahs are not from the Midrash HaTorah Nidresh Hashem. You should always give Taim and Mitzvahs. The Gemara does give Taim and Mitzvahs. The Rambam gives all the Hasidus and Tzadikim, all the Kabbalahs, everybody gives Taim and Mitzvahs. The Taim HaMitzvah is in the chelik of Talmud Torah to try to figure out what moral, ethical, or religious principle is the mitzvah trying to teach us. But it's not from Midrash HaTorah Nidresh Hashem that doesn't regulate the application of the mitzvah. They say whatever the reason doesn't apply, the din doesn't apply. So how did the Beis Halevi say that the women, the Rambam holds that the women are part of the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah because the women are not mechuyev in Talmud Torah, the whole purpose of whole purpose of the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah is Balamda in order to learn. So the answer is obvious. The Gemara says in the second paragraph in Sanhedrin, the Chachamim disagree with Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. They hold Loi Dashin and Taim Dikra. If the Chumash doesn't write the reason, but here the Chumash writes Kisva Lachem Alamda Zmeitzo, he gives the reason. So whatever the Chumash writes the reason, so that's part of the mitzvah. Whenever the reason doesn't apply, the whole mitzvah doesn't apply. So the women are not Mechuyev in Talmud Torah, so Neila. They're not even see the Sefer Torah. There's a Mishnah Kasha. Yeah, the Haftorah should not be read the way it's printed in the Chumashim. The Haftorah has three sections. First part is from Hosea, second part is from Micha, then the third part is from Yoel. So the Gemara says, you can read from two different Nevi'im, but not out of order. Hosea, Yoel, Amos, Abadya, Yoel, and Micha. Yoel comes before Micha. So some people will say all three and say Micha last. And others, the Dona Blavodva on the side of the Shulchan Aruch and Moshe Bant, they say, no, you don't have to say all three. Sometimes you only say two. Sometimes you say the first and the second. Sometimes you say the first and the third. When do you decide whether you're going to say the first and the second, the first and the third? So then there are different versions. So then, the Dogma of Baba, the Rabbi Yehuda, and Zaharis gives one suggestion, Rabbi Moshe gives another suggestion. But some people would not say all three and reverse the order. Have Yoel before Micha. One of the more famous psukim in the section from Hosea is the Shama forms for saying, when you don't have a Beis HaMikdash, the only way we have to fulfill the mitzvah of HaKrovus Kavanis is by reciting lip service, by reciting the psukim from the Chumash about the mitzvahs of HaKrovus Kavanis. And the Shama forms for saying, under the circumstance, that's the best we can do. So this is a big machlokes. The Mabit, who was the same part of Yosef Karo in Sfar, writes in this Sefer Beis HaMikdash that this is true regarding all mitzvahs. If you don't have Dalamina, you don't have Matzah, you don't have whatever, Megillah. So learn the Dinim and the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch Malan Aleihem as if they read the Megillah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers that we did the mitzvah. And the Chafetz Chaim quotes all the Rishayim who don't agree, he doesn't even quote them, Abid. Quotes all the Rishayim who say the Ferish Nach. So this Haftacha only applies to Karbonis and the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. When we learn Mishnayos Midas, so it's considered as if, under the circumstances, that we don't have the ability to build a Beis HaMikdash. It's considered as if we had fulfilled the mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash. But it doesn't apply to all other mitzvahs, but it's usually assumed. Rashi writes in Bav Menzia, Mount Pei Bava, so that we only have Talmud Bavli on the Mesichtas that are relevant by Loche. That's why there's no Talmud Bavli on Zeroim, except for Brochas and on Taras. So why is there Talmud Bavli on Kochim? The Rashi said, because Kochim is Aloha Lamaisa, because whoever learns the dinim of Karbonis, Malian Aleim, Kilu Hikribu. So Rashi holds it's only by Karbonis. Chofetz Chaim quotes that Rashi. Chofetz Chaim has a whole essay about the significance of learning Kochim. So he quotes the Rishayim all say, like Rashi, this Haftoch and Shama Farm Sassanim only applies to Karbonis. There's more in the Haftorah. Okay. Next time. Have a good Shabbos, everybody.